Please take a seat, and if you want, you can grab a Bible. There should be a stack of them on your tables. And turn to page 704. So for those of you that I don't know or I haven't met or I've not seen for a long time, my name's Jenny. I'm one of the leaders here at the Mission. You're so welcome. Page 704. So I've got some slides to go with my talk, but because of the technical difficulties, I think it's going to be a bit like, what on earth is that? So if you get a little bit bored with me, just look at the screen and try and figure out what the picture is and what it's there for, okay? Page 704. Okay, let me ask you this. It's not a rhetorical question, okay? So if you've got the answer to this, please feel free to shout it out. I'm quite interested to know what the answer to this question is. What is the one invite that you could receive that would make you cancel all of your plans and everything so that you could go to that one thing? It could be a party, a one-to-one meeting with someone, a trip or an experience. What one thing would make you cancel everything? Shout out. Catherine?
Zoe's wedding.
Zoe's wedding. Oh, okay. So Catherine would cancel everything to go to Zoe's wedding. Anything else? Oh, look at that. That's dedication. So changing holiday plans to go to a wedding. Yeah, anything else? Right? Okay, England in the World Cup final. It's never going to happen, so you ain't got to worry about cancelling your plans. But if they were in the World Cup final, yeah, you meant to go, well, oh, sorry, I'm sick today. So you could watch it, right? Oh, look, see, there's always one, isn't there? So Ryan got invited to see the Princess of Wales, so cancelled his plans so that he could go and see her. She's never been the same again. Anyone else? Last one. Yeah, Helen. Okay, what if there's sickness? Oh, okay, pain and sickness. Okay, so if you've got pain, that would stop you from doing stuff. Yeah, okay. So I asked my husband this at home, like, what is the one thing? And he's like, not much. I was like, okay then. Great. I mean, whereas for me, like, if it was dinner with David Beckham, if it was training with the Arsenal football team, all expenses paid holiday, like, my list is long. Like, I'll cancel my plans for quite a lot of things, but not for my melancholic husband. Right, okay, so we are going to look at this morning God's invitation to us. So God's invitation to his people hundreds of years ago and how that then relates to us this morning. So we are finishing off our series. There's a slide you can see. Isaiah 55. We've been looking at this book, which is in the Old Testament. It's a prophecy. So God's speaking through the prophet Isaiah, predicting stuff that's going to happen in the future. And the part we're at today, God is speaking to the southern kingdom of Israel. And he's saying to them, I'm going to let the Babylonians, who were the bullies of the day, I'm going to let them defeat you and take you from where you live into their home. So you're going to be in exile. So the people of God were going to be made physical captives because of their sin. And so God is speaking through Isaiah before that happens. He's telling them that during the exile, even when it's all bleak and all grim, there's going to come a point at which God will invite his people to return home and to return back to him. So it's a bit of a long passage. Millie's going to come and read it for us. Isaiah 55, and then we'll crack on after that.
Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without honey and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. For this will be the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
Thank you. Okay, keep your Bibles open in front of you if you want to follow along where we are and where we're going. So any good shindig, any good party requires a guest list so you know who's coming. Okay, and so the invitation God extends to his people, look at the guests that he invites. So verse 1, he invites the thirsty. Now I wonder if you can remember the most thirsty you've ever been in your life. Probably not. I only remember it, for me, because it was a bit of a random situation. When I was a student, there was a group of us flying to Uganda because we were students. We'd done a stop-off in Dubai for about 20 hours just to keep the airfare down. And so we thought, let's go and explore Dubai for the day, okay? So off we got. At the airport we went, we got our passports stamped. We went out wearing the clothes we were wearing on the aeroplane. So it was like jeans, a hoodie, a coat. And we went out without any local currency because we hadn't planned to stop off in Dubai. And so out we went as a bunch of students dressed for the winter in the midday sun of the summer in Dubai. And let me tell you, it didn't take long before we got a little bit hot. And a couple more minutes, we were melting. And probably within an hour, we were disintegrating outside a government building under a shade, just absolutely desperate for a drink. And no one had any money on them, so we couldn't do anything. But thankfully, these guards who were on this kind of post, they took pity on us and they brought out loads of water. And let me tell you, that was the mighty finest bottle of water I've ever drunk. So Jesus' invitation is to the thirsty. He doesn't say to the super thirsty who are about to melt or just the slightly thirsty. It just says an invitation to the thirsty. Now, God uses the image of thirst to talk about our spiritual condition. So to talk about our hearts. Like the Bible says, we've got thirsty hearts. Now, physically speaking, there's reasons why we get thirsty, right? So if it's really hot weather, you might get thirsty. If you've overexerted yourself by going on a run or a cycle or a swim, you might be thirsty. Or maybe you just drink regularly because you know at least 2 litres of water a day is good for you. Now, the truth is, spiritually, there's their equivalence. There's reasons why we get spiritually thirsty. It might be because their temperature heats up because of suffering. It might be because of life. Just life in and of itself can be tough. Exam season, pressure at work, pressure at home. Or maybe we just want to flourish and we know that we need to be thirsty and we need to come to God to keep surviving and keep flourishing. And so the guest list here, God says, anyone who's thirsty, come to me. What else he say, verse 1? He says, he invites those who can't pay. So those who've got no money, those who've got no power, those who've got no friends in higher places, he says, you are the ones who can come. The reason for that is because this invitation is an invitation that money can't buy. The guests are those who are spiritually bankrupt and actually know that they are. And God says through Isaiah, come and come freely. And he contrasts that. Look at verse 2. He contrasts that with people who have money and they're spending it, who work hard and are spending their money on what? The stuff that doesn't satisfy. Throughout the Bible, bread is an image of like spiritual food, the thing that only truly satisfies our soul. And Isaiah is saying, you cannot buy this type of bread no matter how much money you earn. And spending your money on anything else other than God's bread is like going to McDonald's, having a feast, feeling full. Half an hour later, you have a burp and you're hungry all over again. It will never, ever satisfy. Money, work, and the things of the world, they can buy stuff, but they can't actually sort out our spiritual condition. So God's people here at this time when Isaiah was writing were running towards worthless idols. And God tells them earlier in chapter 44 and verse 20, he said, running towards those kind of idols is like feeding on ashes. Now, I want you to imagine you've gone on a long run, you come back, you're thirsty, and instead of giving you a glass of water, I'll give you a glass of ash. That isn't going to satisfy your thirst. And God says chasing after idols is like that. It leads to dissatisfaction. And yet today we exchange the wood and we exchange the metal for what? For achievement, for popularity, for the perfect partner, for power, for stuff, for experiences, whatever it may be. And yet we know, we don't just need the Bible to tell us, we know from our own experience that actually the applause soon fades and stuff gets old and out of date. And what is it that we're left with? God says here in Isaiah 55, why spend your money on bread which isn't God's bread and on stuff that doesn't satisfy? See, guests are those who are thirsty and who are broken and know that they're nothing spiritually before God. And so let me ask you this morning, are you thirsty and are you a broken guest? The Bible says whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we act like it or not, that we've all sinned, we've all messed up, we've all fallen short of God's standard. So there's a guest list that God gives. And then coming next up, look at that picture. Anyone know what that is? Good job I'm not going by the slides. There's an invite to us. See, the invitation that God gives in Isaiah 55 is a spiritual five-star, all-you-can-eat buffet 24-7 that is never, ever, ever going to run out. Verse 2 says, you will enjoy the best food of all. But look, this money can't buy invitation. It's not one of steak and lobster and champagne. Verses 1 and 2, it's about bread and it's about water and it's about water and about milk and about wine. And so look, if you think of bread, now I speak about bread now as a baker, I have you know. So in the past week, I've baked 2 loaves of bread. I thank you. Who knew? One was inedible because it was so salty. And the second one was nasty because it didn't have enough salt in. So we're going for third time lucky in my house. But you think about bread. It's actually something that sustains you. Sometimes just a slice of toast with a bit of butter on and a cup of tea. It's the thing that sustains you. Water. The thing that keeps us alive. And not just that. It also cleans us if we wash. Young people. It cleans us if we wash. It causes us to relax if we was to sit in a bath or have a nice shower. It refreshes us if you walk by the sea or by a waterfall or by a stream. And milk, what about milk? Well, this probably isn't one for the lactose intolerant. But if you think about babies, for the first few months of their life, all they consume is milk. Because that is the thing that helps them to grow big and strong and nourishes them as they're growing. Now, wine, if you've had an unhealthy relationship with it, maybe this isn't one for you, but ordinarily, wine is pulled out at joy-filled celebrations, moments to kind of savour. And God is saying, you can't work for this, and you can't buy this, you can't pay for this stuff. The invitation from God is, come and get this and be satisfied. But the thing is, it's not literally. He's not saying, I'm going to give you a loaf of bread and a glass of milk and a glass of water and a glass of wine. He's saying spiritually. Look at verse 1. God says, come to the waters. Come to the waters. But look at verse 3. He then says, come to me. How do we get this stuff? How do we receive this invitation? We come to God. And the Bible says we come in surrender and repentance. And repentance just simply means I'm walking my own way, doing my own thing, and I turn around and I look towards God and I say that I'm going to follow him. We come in surrender, we come in repentance, we come recognizing I'm actually spiritually broken. And there's the offer of life and of joy and of cleansing and of refreshment. David says in Psalm 36, verse 8, he says, they feast on the abundance of your house, God, because you give them drink from your rivers of delight. Let me ask you, friends, where are you going to this morning for your satisfaction? Are you looking for it in achievement? Are you looking for it in your bank balance or popularity or in what's on your laptop? Are you looking for it in social media or in other people? Or are you looking for it in God? God satisfies the human heart. And then what else? Any good invitation, you've got your guest list, you send out your invite saying what they're coming to. And then if you're polite, you RSVP. If you're planning a wedding, is it helpful, Zoe, for people to RSVP? Yeah, if you haven't, RSVP to Zoe, please. So the exiles at the time, when God was speaking through Isaiah to the people, and they were going to be carted off from their homeland and they were going to be exiles, there was going to come a time where they would think that God was so distant from them and that he had deserted them from where they were. I wonder if you ever feel like that, ever feel like God's deserted you. Isaiah urges them, when you feel like that, people, know that God is close. Turn to him. Don't wait. There's no mystery to it. Verse 6, God is willing to be found. And so how do we find him? How do we RSVP? Verse 6, we seek. And verse 7, we forsake. Now, to seek something means forsaking, leaving it behind, right? If I seek to be really fit and healthy, I'm going to forsake and leave behind the chocolate. That's why I'm not fit and healthy. If we seek to travel and explore the world, we need to forsake, we need to leave behind our homes. To seek means to forsake and leave. Now, God's people at the time Isaiah was speaking, they would go to the temple and they would pray to God. But then they would come home and they'll come and they'll worship their household idols. Isaiah says, seek God and abandon that wicked way of life. And again, friends, how different are we? How different are you and how different am I? That we want God's blessing and we want eternal life without giving up the stuff that we really, really like and we know that actually God don't really like in a way that we do. For us, it can so easily become, oh, God's blessing plus something else. And yet there's an invitation to abandon our ways and our faults, look at verses 8 to 10, that are corrupted by sin, like the stuff that we do that's wrong and offensive to God, and corrupted by our selfishness. And turn to the greater ways and the greater faults, verse 7, of God, the God of mercy and the God of forgiveness. Seek God, there's that invitation, seek God and forsake everything else that you're chasing because it's not going to satisfy. And so how do we do that? How do we RSVP? How do we seek God and leave everything else behind? There's lots of ways that we can do that. It's coming to God in prayer, coming to God in the silence, trusting in him, meditating on his word, like taking it to heart, through our praise and worship, through the gift of song and singing, through serving, through giving, through being thankful. You might know this morning, what is the thing that gets you close to God, that makes you feel so connected with God? Isaiah's saying, do more of that. Do more of the thing that connects you more to God. And the stuff that pulls you away from him, do less of that. Really simple maths. Do more of the stuff that connects you to him and less of the stuff that pulls you away from him. And as we do that, verse 3, God makes a commitment to us, a covenant to us, like he made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He makes an unbreakable oath with us to pursue us with goodness and mercy following us all of the days of our life. And that's why David could say in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth I desire besides you, God. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now, if you get invited to go somewhere, you probably either know the host or want to know something about the host before you go. Now, for the Jews, they were about to see their king captured and their nation torn apart. But God holds out hope. He holds out hope that in the midst of that, he will build a new kingdom and they would have a new king, a new ruler and commander, verse 4, unlike anything they'd ever seen before. Now, if you was about last week, Mike talked from Isaiah 53 about Jesus being the suffering servant. And actually, Jesus is this ruler and this commander in verse 4. the one who would suffer and become the eternal king. And so the host of this invitation this morning is actually life in Jesus. Because 700 years after this was written, approximately, Jesus would come and live the perfect life and die the most horrific criminal's death so that we could be forgiven. And what does Jesus say? Remember what we've read this morning about coming and having fulfillment in the drink that God gives and the bread that he gives to satisfy our thirst and our hunger. Jesus says in John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am that bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's what Jesus said. The invitation is to come to Jesus. The one who was to come, the suffering servant, promises that very satisfaction. There'll be no more hunger and no more thirst. And so for the people of God, when they would turn back to God and come back to him, it says, verse 12, creation was going to have a party. All the things that were dead were going to be brought back to life. Look at verse 13. Everything that was broken and everything that looked brittle was going to grow into something lush and something beautiful. And it's true for us today, friends, that if we turn to God and we seek him and we forsake everything else, joy follows. Joy follows. Joy so great, verse 12, creation joins in. And that's the picture of restoration that Jesus brings to you and brings to me if we decide to follow him. He takes what is barren and what is dead and he brings it to life and makes it beautiful and fruitful. And verse 10 and 11, these aren't just hollow, empty words, hopeful words. Just as the rain and the snow fall down on the ground before they go up to heaven, they accomplish what they set out to do. The rain's going to water your plants before it evaporates back up again. God's words can be trusted. And so there's an invitation this morning for those who are thirsty. And the invitation is to come and to be satisfied in him. And we can RSVP, we can seek and we can forsake. Or we can choose not to. Because the host Jesus holds out that invitation. Now, if you've gone to a party, if you're probably under the age of 11, if at any point you were under the age of 11, which the majority of people here were, or if you've ever had children and you've had the joy of putting on a children's party, you will be familiar with the concept of party bags. You've got some on your tables. Now, these are environmentally friendly party bags because they're paper rather than plastic. But normally what happens, there's a little bit of pressure on the party organiser, i.e. the mum, to put together little party bags that they're going to send the kids away with. So after the fun of the party is over, the kids get to enjoy it a little bit more at home. So what that normally means is lots of E numbers, lots of sugar, random plastic things that break after you've played with them for a little bit. In our house, probably 2 days maximum, they last. But party bags are a way of enjoying the fun, keeping the party going. God knows about that. He knows something about that. See, this invitation that he holds out to his people, he doesn't say, right, you come, now you've come, I'll satisfy you, and that's it, you go on your merry way. He gives us a party bag that's going to last forever. Look at verse 13, a party bag that is going to last forever. Goes on into eternity. When we RSVP and we seek God and we forsake everything else and we're satisfied in him, he gives us the fullness of life now, but also into the future. Let me read this. This is from Revelation, which is the very last book in the Bible, and chapter 7, and verses 16 to 17. So right at the end of time, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, that's Jesus, at the center before the throne, will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. There's a promise, friends, that goes on beyond this mortal earth. When you and I are long gone, there's an invitation that Jesus will continue satisfying us, satisfying our hunger and satisfying our thirst, only found in Jesus. And so there's a personal invitation to us this morning. Come to Jesus. That's the invitation. Come to Jesus to receive forgiveness and cleansing and refreshment and joy and nourishment, a thing that is going to keep you going. Maybe you've never heard those words before. The invitation to come to Jesus is life-changing. Ask someone over lunch what difference Jesus has made in their life. Maybe you've come to Jesus years and years ago. This isn't a one-time invitation. It's an invitation right into eternity when we're face-to-face with God before the throne. And so, friends, this morning, are you thirsty? Are you broken? Are you empty? Are you disappointed? Come to Jesus. Are you looking for satisfaction in the wrong places? The invitation for you this morning is come to Jesus. Do you need to seek differently? Seek God differently? Come to Jesus. What is it this morning that you might need to forsake? You might need to leave behind and not pursue that anymore. The invitation is come to Jesus. Let's pray. Come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which isn't bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, God says, listen to me. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. God, thank you for the invitation that you extend to us. Help us to know this morning, how do we RSVP? How do we respond to that invitation? I pray that you'd show us, God, and thank you for the truth that you're the only one that truly satisfies. Amen.